Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from the bottom of Nun Beis Omid Beis at the beginning of the Gemara of this Perek. We gave an introduction in our previous shiur to the structure of the Gemara that is about to be learned, but in the interest of anyone tuning in for the first time, we'll go over the structural introduction. You'll notice at the bottom of Nun Beis Omid Beis, we have a design, a bow tie shape, and in the outside margin of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Let us read what our Nosei topic Mivneh structural note says. We have this bow tie form and a Roman numeral number 1 also in a bow tie that you can see to the immediate left right hand side of the Gemara text. We've written that it represents Shnei She'elois Shishorav Preda Merav Yami, two questions that Rabbi Preda will be asking of Rav Ami Be'inyan Menachas. One, Minayin Shabois Matzah. What's the source that Menachas come as matzah, as opposed to letting them ferment to become chometz? And number two, Diniloshin Be'poishrim Uboi Shmira Shaloi Achmitzu. And from where do we know that Menachas, which are prepared with lukewarm water, as a result of that, the fear of their becoming chometz is all the greater because of the warmth of the water. So there is a special need to have shmira, to guard it from becoming chometz. So the second question will be focusing on the issue of what is the mokar for the need for shmira, for this guarding. Let us now learn the Gemara inside. Bo minei Ravi Preda Mirabi Ami. Before we go further, we should point out that at the end of this halachic section of Gemara, the two questions that Rabbi Preda puts to Rabbi Ami, there will be an agadic section of Gemara which features Rabbi Preda as one of the main personalities in that section of Gemara. So, but as far as the markings are concerned, we've only featured the two questions that Rabbi Preda poses to Rabbi Ami. When we get to the section of Agoda, there you will notice Rabbi Preda's name is dashed, underlined, but not in the context of this particular structure of questions. So the Gemara has Rabbi Preda asking Rav Ami at the bottom of Nun Beis Amid Beis, Minayin l'chol ha-menachos shehein bo'is matzah. From where do we know that menachos are to be baked as matzah, meaning non-fermented? So to this, Rabbi Ami reacts with wonderment, Menolon, where you're asking, from where do you know that? Dichtiv bo'aksipa. Those menachos that the Torah says specifically that they are supposed to be guarded from becoming chometz, so it says so specifically. Delo ksiv ba zois teiras hamincha hakrevo yisob bnei Aaron lefnei Hashem el pnei hamizbeach v'hanoiseres mimeno yochlu Aaron uvanov matzos teochel. You can see this pasuk, which lasted three lines, is a pasuk that has a general reference to menachos, and it concludes by saying that matzos teochel, that the menachos are to be eaten as matzah. So either you have the matzah reference regarding a specific mincha, or if not, so then you have, if you have a mincha where there isn't a specific reference to its being matzah, you have this general pasuk which would instruct one thusly. So the question right now is, it's a question on the question. Rabbi Preda asked, where do I know this from? Rabbi Ami says, well, it's obvious, you don't have to ask that. Omar Lei, Rabbi Preda responds, mitzvah lo ko miboyali. I am not asking about the mitzvah, the requirement. I am looking for the source that it is binding, that if it's not prepared as matzah, in other words, if it's allowed to ferment, then you haven't fulfilled the mincha requirement. Omar le la'akev nami. So Rabbi Ami answers, as far as your new question, or the my new understanding of your question, where from where do we know that it's binding? Ksiv, there's a pasuk that says loy soifa chometz elamatsa. The pasuk it says you shall not bake it as chometz, and we infer elo matzah, so you do bake it as matzah. We just encountered a new geometric form, the house shape. Let's glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic, and Mivneh structural note. We have a house with an indication of a 1 and 2 next to it. If you look in your Gemara text to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice a little house with a 1 in it, and if you scan down the page, you'll find a number 2. So these represent, and we've written on the side, Nisyonos, attempts, Lahashiv, L'Sheilas Rabbi Preda, to answer Rabbi Preda's question, V'Laseis Mokor de Menachos Bos Matzah, and to give a source that Menachos come as Matzah, and it's U'Ma'akev, and it's Ma'akev, and it's binding. So we read the first Mokor, that was Lo Sofe Chometz, Ela Matzah. Until we get to the second house form, which ultimately will be the answer, the Gemara challenges this approach, the approach of reading the pasuk with an inference. This is represented by a volcano shape. And if you scan down the Gemara to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a 1 in this trapezoid or volcano shape, and a vertical dashed line following the numbering 2 and 3. What we've done here is try to create the image that there's basically one long question that is going to be raised. The one long question is broken down into three parts, or there are actually three contributors to the challenge. But from our perspective, we gave an answer, that was the house number 1, and from this point, from the Maskifla of Chista, till we get down to the second house, the Gemara will be in a state of challenging the approach taken in house number 1. This we've indicated on the outside margin, you can see the volcano shape, Kushyos al Tshuva Harishona. These are three questions that form one basic attack on the first answer, the first house. As we go on in the Gemara, you will notice that there are two sections that are bracketed. We will note on the inside margin, there's a starred note opposite the point in the Gemara where the bracket appears, and we've written besoch sograyim elu, within these brackets, v'habo'ois, and the next bracketed section, yesh nisyonos lidchois akushyos, there are attempts to repel the question. Nisyonos elu misumonos, with this triangle colored in tip. The attempts that will be made to reject the question will appear with this marking, this colored in triangle. And avol behemshich, as you continue, hein nidchois, they will be rejected. In other words, the attempt to repel the question will be rejected, thereby leaving the question intact. And that's indicated, when that happens, you'll see this inverted triangle with the colored in tip. Ubekach nishar hamaskif, and with that, the question will remain. So that if you skim down the Gemara, you'll notice the volcanoes. The volcanoes represent questions on house number 1, the approach of Lo Sefer Chometz Elamatsa, the approach of making an inference from the Lo Sefer Chometz Pasuk. These volcanoes are challenged along the way, but they are rejected. The challenges are rejected. Hence, it leaves you with a big question, in thereby forcing us to come up with what we call answer number 2, to house number 2, to finally give an answer to from where do I know that the matzah element is me'akev, is binding. We've also indicated what we noted in our Sograyim note on the inside margin. We've also indicated this in the outside margin, where you see the triangles with the colored in tip. We call it there ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Because after raising the question, the Gemara then will attempt to reject the question and then reinstate the question so that one doesn't lose track of where we are going. We have these wonderful markings. So the note in the outside margin, after we call it the ma'akav, the attempt to keep track, toch sograim nisyonos lichos hakusha, within the brackets, there will be attempts to repel the question. That's the question represented by the volcano. And then the inverted triangle, or dechias hanisyon v'meila nishar kusha, so it will be the rejection of the attempt to repel, and thereby leaving the original question intact. So with all of that introduction in mind, we are prepared to delve into the Gemara itself. The answer that we had given to how do you know that chometz is usur as far as a mincha is concerned, and that isur is that prohibition is binding. So the pasuk was cited lo yisoifel chometz, and in inference was elo matzah. Maskif lo Rav Chisda. The ema, maybe what the pasuk is telling me is lo yisoifel chometz elo siur. In other words, the pasuk isn't telling me it must be matzah. The pasuk is telling me don't allow it to become full-fledged chametz, but it can become siur. The truth is, the issue of siur is a major discussion in Maseches Psochim. For our purposes, we will give some background to it, because the background is needed to understand the section in the brackets. So in the inside margin at the upper part of the page, you'll notice we have a little note entitled Siur. Siur is a situation of dough before it becomes chometz. When the fermenting starts, it starts to change, the dough starts to change. There are several stages of change if you leave dough unkneaded. We might as well point out that the issue of chometz does not begin as long as the dough is being handled, is being kneaded. It's the issue of chometz sets in only once you leave dough unkneaded. Leave it as after you knead the dough and just leave it sit. That's when the fermentation starts. But if you have a clump of dough that you are kneading and constantly working on it for an unlimited amount of time, all of that time does not result in a problem of chometz. Now, when you leave the dough unkneaded, it starts to develop a white face, a white surface. That's called hichsifu ponov. If you leave it longer, it then starts to develop very fine cracks. Those are called karnei chagovim, literally the antenna of grasshoppers. Fine cracks. If you leave it longer, the fine cracks multiply and become intermingled. At that point, everyone will agree that's full-fledged chometz. And when it comes to Pesach, for example, if one eats chometz, he's chayev kores. What about eating siur? So siur in and of itself is not osur midoraisa to the same. It's not osur. It's not forbidden from a Torah level. However, there is a rabbinic prohibition against eating siur, this early stage of change. Rabbi Meir's definition of siur is a more stringent definition, namely, even when the facing of the dough starts to whiten, that already categorizes it as siur. Rabbi Yehuda says that's nothing. When it's hichsifu ponav, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you that that's still matzah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when does siur set in? When the fine cracks develop, but not in great number. Just a few fine cracks in the dough surface appear. That's siur. According to Rabbi Meir, that already would be a severe problem. That would be chometz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as we said, stukim, like these cracks, like karnei chagovim, is not a problem of chometz gomor, it's a problem of si'ur. When is chometz gomor? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's only when the when there's a multitude of these cracks. So, at this point, the Gemara challenged the first house answer and said, maybe when it says lo sofa chometz, the Torah is telling me you're prohibited from making it into chometz, but you can make it into, you can allow the mincha to be brought as si'ur. So I don't see from this source that matzah is ma'akev. If we skip the bracketed section for a moment just to get a flavor of the Gemara, there is another question, Maskif Lo Rav Nachman Yitzchok. He also challenges house number one, and he says, V'eimo, maybe, lo yisayfe chometz, elo cholut. Maybe what the Torah is telling me, don't bake it as chometz, but you can, but you boil it. Cholut is a process of boiling. So that the emphasis is on don't bake it as chametz, but boiling is that which you are to do. And then if we skip the second bracketed section, you read Maskif Lo Ravina V'eimo, and again he challenges that first house answer and says Lo Yisoyfe Chometz. What that means is Lamekam Gavro Belav Bi'almo. All that does is it establishes that the person who bakes it as chometz is in violation of a negative command. Vifsui lo mifsala, but the mincha itself does not become unfit that way. So if that be the case, then I don't have a source that the matzah quality is binding. Elo minola? So the Gemara will ask, so then where do I know it from? Where do I know that the matzah quality is binding? And that will lead the Gemara to house number two. Now let's go back to Maskif or Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asks, V'eimo, maybe instead of reading Lo Yisayfeh Chometz Elo Matzo, read it as follows, Lo Yisayfeh Chometz Elo Si'ur. You're restricted from making it into Chometz, but you can make it Si'ur. Well, to this, the Gemara asks, Si'ur Deman, whose definition of Si'ur? The Rebbe Meir, the Rebbe Yehuda. If it's Rebbe Meir's definition of siur, meaning white-faced dough, and you're talking according to the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, well, hichsifu ponav according to his matzah maliyahi. Well, then that would be the same thing as was said in the house. That's full matzah. Then you, your question isn't a question. Rav Chisda is asking a question, whether maybe the Torah is saying don't bake it as chometz, but bake it as siur. Well, if it's a function of white face dough according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, that is matzah. So that's not, then you're not asking a question. E de Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Meir. If it's Rabbi Yehuda's definition of siur, which is the fine cracks that develop, and Le Rebbe Meir, and you're asking this according to Rebbe Meir, well, then it doesn't make any sense what you said. The pasuk says Lo Sofa Chometz Ela Siur, but Siur, if you are going to define it as fine cracks, and you're going to be speaking within the context of shitas of the opinion of Rebbe Meir, chometz ma'alyu, that is chometz. So the pasuk is saying, don't make it into chometz. You can't say, don't make it into chometz, but yes, make it into siur, when the siur under these circumstances would be chometz. In fact, it would be chometz. E de Rebbe Meir le Rebbe Meir, if it's siur of Rebbe Meir, meaning hichsifu ponav, the white-faced dough, and you're talking within the context of le Rebbe Meir, mi deloki ale, from the fact that Rebbe Meir says that one who eats hichsifu ponav is warrants receiving lashes. Well, chometzu, if you're going to be lashing him, that must be that hichsifu ponav, according to Rebbe Meir, is in fact a problem, a chometz problem, that it is chometz. So
you can't possibly say then, don't bake it as chametz, but yes, si'ur, according to Rebbe Meir. When, according to Rebbe Meir, the si'ur is, in fact, chametz. Elo, the suggestion of Rav Chisda will make sense now. And you can see the inverted triangle indicates that we're going to then reinstate Rav Chisda's question. Ela de Rebbe Yehuda, le Rebbe Yehuda. We're talking about siur of Rebbe Yehuda, namely the fine cracked dough, within the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda that holds that it is not chametz. So if you hold like Rebbe Yehuda in defining siur, and you hold like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion of how to deal with it, then the suggestion that Rav Chisda made makes a lot of sense. That when the pasuk says lo yisofu chametz, the Torah is simply warning you don't make it into chametz, but you could make it into siur, and siur is not chametz according to Rebbe Yehuda. And with this, we don't then have a source from the lo yisofu chametz pasuk. We don't have a source for matzah. Maskif lo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok v'ema lo yisofu chametz ela cholut. He too challenges the house number one and says, when the pasuk says, thou shalt not bake it as chametz, maybe what the Torah is saying, but do boil it. Boil the dough. And that would be the first stage in preparing the mincha. Once again, the Gemara tries to reject or repel the question by saying it's a non-question. Cholut mayni, what is cholut? Revicha. Revicha is boiling water. That's putting the dough into boiling water. Well, e deika revicha, ksiv ba revicha. Vha lo ksiv ba revicha. If it's supposed to be prepared as revicha, the Torah will tell you, you shall prepare it as a revicha. And if it doesn't say to prepare it as a revicha, you can't suggest that on your own. In other words, you can't take the pasuk and say, lo yisofu chametz ela cholut, but don't make it as chametz, but yes, and then infer, but yes, make it cholut, which we call revicha. If the Torah doesn't say specifically, make it into revicha, then you can't come to that conclusion through some inference. At this point, then, you can see that the suggestion of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok would be in danger. The Gemara says, no, we're going to reinstate Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's suggestion. The Ema, maybe the rules are as follows. Aleph, first point. Dechsiv bo revicha mitzvah bo revicha. A mincha that the Torah troubles itself to tell you to make as revicha, then you're obligated. It's a mitzvah to make it as revicha. Udoloksiv bo revicha. If you have a situation like our pasuk of loy sofu chametz, where it doesn't say revicha, e boy revicha laisi, e boy matzah laisi, then it becomes optional. If that be the case, then when you look at the pasuk of loy soifu chametz, you don't see there that matzah is binding. It could be that lo soifu chametz, thou shalt not bake it as chametz, but you can make it into revicha, or you can make it as matzah. Maskif lo ravina, the emo loy soifu chametz, that the pasuk of lo soifu chametz is not here to tell me that matzah is binding, but rather lomekam gavra balaf v'almo v'ifsuli lo mifsala. It's telling me that the person who makes it as chametz has violated a negative command. However, the mincha itself has not become posel. Elo min olon. Therefore, we ask the basic question, from where are we to know, and this was Rabbi Prado's original question to Rabbi Ami, from where do we know that matzah by Menachos is binding? Answer, Kidesanya. We have the following source. Matzah. Matzah is a word from the Pasuk. Yocho mitzvah. Is that merely a proper thing to do, but it's not necessarily binding? Talmud Lomar, Tihyeh. The word Tihyeh is also found in the Pasuk that this Brisa is referring to. Hakosuv Kov'o Choyvo. By the added word Tihyeh, the pasuk establishes that it's obligatory. And if one doesn't make it as matzah, then he has not fulfilled the mincha requirement. Bo minei Rabbi Preid Omer Abami. Minayin l'chol ha-menochas sh'niloshes b'poishrim u'mesham'ram sh'lo yachmitzu. From where do we know that all the menochas that are kneaded with lukewarm water, which is creates a greater likelihood of chimutz of setting in, from where do we know that those menochas that are kneaded with lukewarm water, that they must be guarded from becoming chometz? Nilmadena mi Pesach. Should we learn it from halachas of Pesach? Dichtiv ushmartem es hamatzos. Here you have a pasuk indicating the need for shmira. And so should we learn from Pesach, just like by the making of Pesach matzos, you have to guard them from becoming chometz, so too by menachas. Amale, Rabbi Ami says, you don't have to learn menachas from Pesach. Begufoksiv, in the context of menachas itself, it says, matzah tehiyeh. Hachaye, Rashi says, hachaye klomar, hachshireno v'shomra. Word tehiyeh is understood to mean that matzahs, they shall be guarded from becoming anything else. The Gemara asks, Vo'afikte le'akev. But I used this pasuk above. You can see we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that points to the line above where we saw tiyeh, and it said Hakosav Kovachova, showing that matzah is obligatory and binding. So I don't. If the pasuk is used already for that purpose, how then can it serve as a source for the need for shmira? The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if the pasuk was only here to tell me, ma'akev, that matzah is binding, lichtev kro matzah hi. The word hi would have been sufficient to convey the idea of something being binding. Mai tihiyeh, what am I to derive from this use of the term tihiyeh? Answer, Shamas mino tarti, from the fact that it didn't use the word he, but opted to use the word tiyeh, I learned both points. Number one, la'akev, and number two, the need for shmira. At this point in the Gemara, we have as our topic heading, Mifgash Rabbi Preda v'Rabbi Ezra, a meeting of Rabbi Preda and Rabbi Ezra. This piece of Gemara will lead into a long section of Agoda that we will see. Amri le Rabbonon le Rabbi Preda. The Rabbonon informed Rabbi Preda. Apparently the setup here is Rabbi Preda was at home and the Rabbonon were in his company, and they told him, Rabbi Ezra bar Breid Rabbi Avtulus, Dehu Asiri le Rabbi Loza ben Azariah du Asiri le Ezra Koi Abova. It was a whole long introduction, we'll say, that the Rabbanan made to Rabbi Breda concerning a visitor, someone who was outside the door. The Rabbanan informed Rabbi Breda that this gentleman, Rabbi Ezra, the grandson of Rabbi Avtulus, who happens to be a 10th generation descendant from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who in turn was 10 generations from Ezra, the famous Ezra HaSofer, the leader of the Jewish people at the time of the return from the Babylonian exile. Omar Lahu. So Rabbi Preda said to the Rabbonin, "My Kuli Hai, what's this whole long introduction? What are you trying? What point are you trying to make? Bar Uyun Hu Yoi. If he himself has his own personal merit, that he's a Bar Uyun, that he's a scholar, that he's a Torah scholar on his own, Yoi, that's very nice. I Bar Uyun U Bar Avon Yoi. If he himself has amassed Torah scholarship and his fathers, his forebearers were pious individuals, that's very nice. V'i Bar Oven V'lo Bar Uyun. If he simply is a descendant of righteous people, but he himself has not followed in their ways. He has not developed his own Torah expertise. Well, and we have no time for him. Esha tichle, let fire consume him. So you can see from Rabbi Preda's reaction, he's not particularly impressed with an individual's colorful or illustrious background if the person himself doesn't follow in those ways. Omru Lei. So the Rabbanan said, Bar Unyanhu, he is a Torah personality. He's a scholar on his own right. Omru Lehu Lei Ovalesi. So let him come in. Chazye Davachira Daite. Rabbi Preda noticed that Rabbi Ezra was disturbed. That's Achira Daite, was disturbed. Well, when you see someone that's disturbed, you want to try to lift up their emotions and say something that is of a, let's say, of a alluring nature, something that will draw him in. So, Pasach V'Omar Rabbi Preda opened and said, quoted a pasuk from Tehillim, Amart Lashem Adoni Ato Tovasi Baal Olecha. Omra Kenes Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, Hachzek Li Toiva Shehodatich Ba'olam. In this pasuk, the Klal Yisrael is described as having turned to the Kadosh Baruch Hu in requesting his showing them good favor, because they have let the world know about his presence. That's Shodatich Ba'olam. Omar Lo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the congregation of Israel, Tovasi Balolecha, I don't owe you any favor. Eini Machsik Toivo Elol Avraham Yitzchok V'Yaakov, Shehodiuni Tchila Ba'olam. If I have a reason to owe, we'll call a favor, so to speak, it is to the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchok, V'Yaakov, that they were the first ones to let me be known in the, to let my name be known in the world. Shenemar, the pasuk continues. This is pasuk Gimel. Lakadoshim asher ba'aretz heimova adirei kol chefzi bom. To the holy ones and the great ones that were once in the world on the land, there within them is all of my desire and favor. So Rabbi Preda cited this pasuk to arouse Rabbi Ezra's spirits. Came on the Shami to Goma Adir when Rabbi Preda. When Rabbi Ezra, the visitor, heard the word Adir, in this pasuk, you'll note earlier on the line, the word Adirei, it's dashed, underlined. When he heard that word, Posach V'Omar, he opened up, and we'll see a string of amazing sayings that will appear as a series of sayings in the Gemara. So the mere mention of the word Adir or Adirei, activated, or that we'll say that activated Rabbi Ezra's strength in Agoda. On the outside margin, you can see the Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a crown form, and the word Yavo will appear in this marking. There's a series of sayings that all begin with this word, and we've used a double underline with dots in it, one of our series markings, to highlight the saying that Rabbi Ezra says. And after each saying, the Gemara will break it down and explain what is being referred to by each term in the saying. So if you scan ahead onto at the lower part of this page, you can see there are two of these crown shapes. And as you scan down the top of Omid Beis, you'll notice another couple of these sayings. So we'll have a total of four sayings with this very similar melodic structure to it, as you will soon witness. So once Rabbi Prado's visitor, heard the word Adir, Posach V'Yomar, he said as follows, Yavo Adir V'Yifra L'Adirim Me'Adirim Ba'Adirim. And now it's explained. Yavo Adir, let the Let the Great One come. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dichtiv. And the pasuk that describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu using this word is Adir Bamoroim Hashem. V'yifra L'adirim. Elu Yisrael. Vifra means to, and pay. Let the Kodesh Baruch Hu come and pay the Adirim, the great ones. Elu Yisrael, Shenemar, Va'adirei, Kol Cheftzibom. We saw this pasuk quoted just before. Me Adirim, and let them collect, so to speak, the Jews collect from the Adirim. Elu Hamitzrim. This is a reference to the Egyptians. Dichtiv. So this pasuk is referring to the crossing of the Yamsuf. When the sea split, it says, Sololu ka'iferes b'mayim adirim. They sunk like lead in the waters. Who sunk in there? The adirim, the Egyptians. Bo adirim, elu mayim. The water is also called adirim. Shnemar, mikoilois mayim rabim adirim mishbereyam. So you have Mayim Rabim Adirim. The water is described as Adir. So if you go back to the phrase that he said, Yavu Adir Vifral Adirim Adirim Badirim, it's saying the Kodesh Baruch Hu will pay the Jews or take vengeance on behalf of the Jews from the Egyptians through the water. A reference, of course, to the drowning in the Yamsuf. Another saying, Yavo Yedid, ben Yedid, v'yivne Yedid, v'yedid b'chalkoshi Yedid, v'yiskaper bo Yedidim. Now, it's explained. Yavo Yedid ze Shlomo HaMelech. Let Yedid come. This is a reference to King Solomon. Shlomo HaMelech, dechtiv, and the following pasuk will show that Shlomo HaMelech is called by this name. V'yishlach b'yad Nosan HaNovi, v'yikros Shmoy Yedidya b'avur Hashem. This pasuk was referring to Shlomo HaMelech, that the prophet Nosson called him Shlomo, the term by the word, by the name Yedidya. The pasuk said, Ben Yedid ze Avraham, dechtiv ma me liyedidi bevesi. This pasuk later on will be darshaned as referring to Avraham. So far, it's let Shlomo HaMelech, who is a descendant from Avraham Avinu, come. V'yivne Yedid, ze Beis HaMikdash. And build Yedid, build the holy temple, the Beis HaMikdash, dichtiv, ma Yedidus Mishkanoi Secha. The Mishkanoi Secha, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So you see the word Yedidus in that context. Liyedid, let Shlomo HaMelech, the descendant of Avraham, come and build the Beis HaMikdash, Liyedid, for Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Almighty, Dichtiv Ashirona Liyedidi. And in this pasuk, this is a pasuk referring to the Almighty. Bechelko Shel Yedid, the Beis HaMikdash will be built in the section of Yedid Zeh Ben Yamin. The section of Israel in which the Beis HaMikdash was built was a section that was allotted to the tribe of Binyamin. Shenemar, where do we see Binyamin in the context of Yedid? The pasuk says, Levinyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem Yishkon Levetech Olav. So you can see that Binyamin is associated with Yedid. Now, we have so far accounted for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. V'yiskapru bo Yedidim. And let Yedidim receive atonement. Elu Yisrael. The Yedidim are the Jews. Dichtiv. Nosati es Yedidus nafshi bekaf oyveha. For our purpose, we are to understand that Yedidus nafshi is a reference to the Jewish people. So, if we go over his saying, he said, let Yedid, let Shlomo Melech, a descendant of Avram, come and build the Beis HaMikdash for the honor of the Almighty in the section of Binyamin, through which atonement will be achieved on the part of Israel. Another saying, Yavo Toiv Vikabel Toiv Mitoiv L'Toivim, and now explained, Yavo Toiv Ze Moshe. This pasuk is a reference to the daughter of Paro noticing the baby in the baby was Moshe Rabbeinu and noticing him, and it says ki tov, that a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kabel toiv zu Torah. Dichtiv ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. That pasuk is a reference to the Torah, which is called toiv. Mi toiv. So far, what have we said? Let Tov come. Tov is Moshe. Come and receive Tov. Receive the Torah from Tov. That's Ze'akodosh Baruch Hu Dichtiv Toiv Hashem LaKoil. So Moshe will receive the Torah from the Almighty. La Toivim, on behalf of the Toivim El Yisrael, on behalf of the Jewish people, Dichtiv Heitivo Hashem La Toivim. Now, the fourth saying. Yovoi ze vikabel zois mize liamzu. Explanation. Yovo ze. Ze Moshe. The word ze is a reference to Moshe, Dichtiv. Ki ze Moshe ho'ish. Vikabel zois zu ha'tira. The word zois is a reference to the Torah, Dichtiv. Zois ha'tira asher so Moshe. Mize. Ze ha'kodesh baruch hu. The word ze is the Almighty. Dichtiv ze keli ve'anvehu. This is my Lord. That's, you see the word ze with the Almighty referred to. Le'am zu, Elu Yisrael, shenemar am zu konisa. The word zu, and you can see am zu konisa, a reference to the Jewish people. So if we go back over his last phrase, that it's when it says Yavo Zeh V'Kabel Zos Mizel Amzu, let Moshe Rabbeinu come and receive the Torah from the Almighty on behalf of the Jewish people. Omer Yitzchok B'Shal Shechorav Beis Hamikdash. Before we go further, we have a little title to this upcoming Gemara. On the outside margin, the Nosei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pogesh Es Avrom B'Beis Hamikdash B'Shas Churbonoi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu meets Avram Avinu in the Beis Hamikdash while it is going up in flames. So Rabbi Yitzchok tells us, "B'shal shechorav Beis Hamikdash motzah Kodesh Baruch Hu l'Avram she'oimid Beis Hamikdash." The Almighty came and saw Avram standing in the Beis Hamikdash. Omar lo, ma liyadidi beveisi. What are you doing here? Notice, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll notice the parallel arrow at the opposite, the top line of Gemara, and we had mentioned in our explanation at that point that this Pasuk Me'el Yedidi is a reference to Avram. Here you can see the fulfillment of that explanation. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu notices Avram. Of course, these are to be understood in a very spiritual form. Avram Avinu, technically speaking, lived many, many years before the building, before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But in spirit, so he certainly could have been there. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu notices Avram at the place of the Churban. Omar lo, and he asks, what are you doing here? Omar lo, al iske bonai, bossi, I came because of my children. My children are being slaughtered, and the Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed. Omar lo, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said, well, banecha chotu v'golu, your children have sinned and are exiled. Omar lo, shema b'shogi chotu, maybe their whole sin was unintentional. Omar lo, asoiso hamezimosa. You'll notice that this pasuk is from Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Aleph. This is from the context of the pasuk that we saw cited at the top, Ma Me'el Yedidi Bevesi. We've written the pasuk on the inside margin so you can see the flow of things. You'll see in the upper part of the page, Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tezvav. Let's read the pasuk to get a flavor of it. Me'el Yedidi Bevesi Asosa Mezimoso Harabim Ubasar Kodesh Yavru Me'oloyach Ki Ra'asechi Oz Ta'aloizi. So so far we've seen the Kodesh Baruch Hu asking, what are you doing here? And Avram answers, well, I came because my children are suffering these travails. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, well, they sinned and they deserve this. And Avram asks, well, maybe they did it b'shogeg, unintentionally. And Kodesh Baruch Hu answers, from that very pasuk, asoiso hamezimosa, they did it willingly, knowingly, willful sinners. Omar lo, shema mi'utan chatu, maybe only a minority of them sinned. Omar lo, harabim, as it says in the pasuk, it's a majority. So Avram says back, hoya l'chol lizkor bris mila. You should have remembered, or we'll say, spared them because of the mitzvah of bris mila. Omar lo, uvesar kodesh yavru me'oloyech. You're right. the merit of the circumcision could have protected them. However, that itself they covered over. They were mevatel the bris milah. They canceled it. They voided it. There's an expression found in other Gemaras called Moshech Barlosa, where physically people can undo the bris milah, so to speak. So they were guilty of that. Omar lo shema im him tamta lahem hayu chayzin b'tshuva. Avraham Avinu, and it's very so interesting to note the here in the oral Torah in the Torah Shebaal Peh, we have a parallel to Avraham Avinu and the story of Sodom that we see in the Chumash. How Avraham is relentless in his prayers on behalf of those that he feels or he thinks should be spared. So Avraham says, maybe if you would have waited, Hamtanta, Hamtana is to wait. Maybe if you waited, would have waited, they would have returned in penitence. Omar loi ki ra'asechi oz ta'aloizi. The Rashi at the second line from the top says, ki ra'asechi oz ta'aloizi b'shas alitzusam machzikim yoyseb ra'asam v'lo chozen b'hem. As they were sinning, they sinned and continued to sin more and more, and there was no sign of their doing tshuva, of repenting. Miyad hiniach yodav al roishoy. Immediately, Avraham Avinu put his hands on his head. Voyotzoyek uboiche. He screamed and cried. V'omar lo yishemo chas v'sholom einlem takona. Maybe they are beyond repair. There is maybe no hope for them. Yotza Basko Vyomerlo Zayis Ranon Yefei Pritoar Koro Hashem Shmech. This, we should note, is Pasuk Tes Zayin, which follows from the Pasuk we've been darshaning till now. And in this Pasuk you see a description of an olive tree. Ma zayezu achrisoi besoifoi, just like the nature of the olive tree, its fruits, its benefit is something enjoyed only much later on. Af Yisrael achrison besoifon. So too, when it comes to Yisrael, their glory is only at the end. The Rashi has a couple of pshotim on this. So on the fourth line from the top, Zayas achriso besofo, shenotoy achshov, it's planted now, v'eino toyin adzman godol, it doesn't bear fruits till much later on, v'achakach toyin peros harbe, and when it bears fruits, it bears them in great numbers. Continuing in the Gemara, the Pasuk is darshan, we're continuing with Pasuk Tezayin, L'kol hamula gedoyla hitzitz eish aleha v'ro'u doli yoisav. You'll notice a triangle that appears right now and a one that's written beside it. If you skim down the page, you'll notice on the third wide line another triangle, number two. On the outside margin, we have a mivne note, a structural note. These triangles represent pirushim la posuk l'kol hamula gedoyla, explanations for this posuk. Now in the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chinuno bar Papa, l'kol milein shamaraglim. Upon hearing the words of the spies that came back from scouting the land of Israel, and their subsequent report. Nis ro'au dolyosehen shel Yisrael. The branches of Israel became weakened, became smashed. What is the point? The Omer Rabbi Chinuno bar Papa. Dover godol dibru miraglim boisashah. They spoke in a very big way. In a big way, meaning in a very harsh, a very rebellious way. They, the Meraglim, the spies, upon returning to the camp of Israel in the desert, they said about the inhabitants of the land, Ki chazok hu mimenu. superficially, it means that those nations in the land of Israel are stronger mimenu. They're stronger than we are. So it's mimenu would be first person plural, stronger than us. First person plural. The Gemara says that al tikri mimenu elo mimenu. As far as our rules of grammar are concerned, there is really no difference in the actual reading between first person plural and third person singular. So we can't really read this any differently, but there are other explanations as to how to deal with this particular line, that there might have been other traditions in the vowelization of these two different forms of person, first person plural, third person, first person plural, or third person singular. For our purposes, though, it's a matter of the meaning. Gemara is telling us that they weren't really saying that the people of Canaan are stronger than us, but rather stronger than him with a capital H. Kiviyocho, as if to say, Shafilu balabayis eino yochol lahotzi kelov misham. Even the owner of the house, the Almighty, cannot get his vessels out of there. In other words, there's someone occupying the land of Israel that even the Almighty cannot vanquish. That is blasphemous. And that's what the Meraglim were guilty of. And that's what the Pasuk is referring to according to this number one pshat, because of their report that eventually led to the Churban HaBayis, the Hitzisesh is the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's known from other Gemaras that the Meraglim came back with the report on the 9th of Av, and the Gemaras elsewhere say they cried for nothing on the 9th of Av that year, but they will be given good reason to cry many years later on that same date. All that may be true. However, the question is that really the pshat in this pasuk? Maskif lo Rav Chiya bar Chinina. Rav Chiya challenges Rav Chinina bar Papa's explanation of the pasuk. Hi, l'kol hamulo gedoylo. The pasuk as it is doesn't fit into your explanation. For your explanation to fit in, l'kol mila miboyale, it should have said to the sound of their word, mila, their words. Therefore, I come up with a second pshat. Elom alogosh borgel avrom. Kolech shamati, I hear your cries, I hear your beseechings. V'chomalti aleihem. Notice the word chomalti, we have a little note that the word hamula, the hey of hamula, interchanges with a ches. Hamula or chemla, which has to do with mercy. I hear your cries and I have mercy upon them. And now we will see the Kodesh Baruch's expression of mercy upon the Jewish people as a result of Avram's entreatings. Ani omarti, I had an original plan. Yishtabdu ba'arba malchiyos, that as a result of their having sinned, they will be subjugated to four exiles, Bovel, Poras, Yavon, and Edom, four kingdoms, Kolachas vachas kishir arba malchiyos. Each exile originally, I planned to be as long as four current exiles. So that if each exile has a specific amount of time, the Yavon exile, the Bovel exile, etc., I intended each one of them to be four of those. However, Hashto, now that you have cried unto me, Kolchada v'chada my deposik law, each exile will be what it originally was allotted to be. The Marshal explains that at the Bris Bein Absorim that happened, the covenant known as the Bris Bein Absorim that happened between the Kodesh Baruch and Avram Avinu, that's back in Sefer Bereishis, there was a reference to the eventuality of four exiles, each one with its own time period. So the Marsha explains that at the point of the Churban, when they had sinned so much, the Kodesh Baruch Hu really intended to elongate each one of those exiles to be, we'll say, four times as long. And as a result of Avraham Avinu's entreatings, it goes back to the original one unit of time per exile. V'ikar d'amri, ani amarti bozeh achar zeh. I originally intended for these exiles to be one after the other. Achshav bevas achas. But now, as a result of your entreatings, the exiles will be concurrent. What, and Rashi explains that instead of the entire Jewish people being exiled into four different locations, one after the other, we have a situation where the Jewish people are scattered, a few in this area and a few in that area, causing the exiles, the four exiles into these four different kingdoms being concurrent. So that at the time that Jews were exiled, let us say, for illustration purposes, in the area controlled by Bavel, there were also Jews exiled in the area under the control of Yavon. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We have a house shape and a double underline. The house will surround names, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and later on Rabbi Yochanan. And the double underline here are Deos Lahazbir Lamo Nimshalu Yisrael Lazayas. Explanations to why Jews are compared to the olive. The Gemara. We, of course, have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see that this draws your attention to the star found above, which is opposite the line where you saw the Pasuk Zayas Ranon referred to, Zayas being an olive. The Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Lomo Nimshalu Yisrael Lezayas. You can see this double underline highlights the same phrase a little bit later as well. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi asks, why are the Jews compared to a Zayas? Lomar Loch, to tell us, to convey the following. Ma Zayas Ein Olav Noshrin. Olav are the leaves. Just like the olive tree, its leaves are not shed, not in the summer nor in the winter. It's a type of tree that's, we call it evergreen, if you will, and its leaves are on it all year round. So too, the Jewish people are never to be vanquished, not in this world and not in the world to come, not into the future either. This is something that, unfortunately, so many enemies of the Jewish people are not aware of, and for whatever reason, they certainly don't get the message. As we say in the Pesach HaGodah, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, generation after generation, the evil ones of the world arise to eliminate the Jews. But V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodam, and you can see that there is this guarantee or promise, if you will, describing the Jews having no bittul, not ever, not forever, not in this world and not in the world to come. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Loma Nimshalu Yisrael Lezayas. Why are the Jews compared to the Zayas? Lomar Loch, to tell us. Ma Zayas Einoi Moitzi Shmonoi Elo Ayadei Ksisa. Just like the olive does not release its oil until the olive is crushed. Af Yisrael ein chayzun lemutav eladei yisurim. So too, the Jewish people don't repent, don't turn back to the proper way unless they are exposed to trials and tribulations, the idea of being crushed. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Hasor Boidulehem Mitoichon Umachmitzon. We saw in the Mishnah two approaches to how the Sa'or for the Shtei Alechem and the Lachmei Toda is to be prepared. Rabbi Meir told us that you will take some of the flour of the Isoron that constitutes the Mincha itself and create the Sa'or, the sourdough, from within. we saw Rav Yehuda disagree and say that if you try to create sor using the flour of the mincha itself from within, it won't be a choice type of fermenting. So rather, you bring sor from an outside source and attach it to the flour of the mincha according to the proper quantity to fill the isaron. Of course, since you're not using the, you're using a, let's say, a pre-made sourdough coming from outside the isaron, this becomes somewhat difficult to calculate how much flour was put into the sa'or that is coming from an outside source. And that's what the Mishnah says, that they said to Rabbi Yehuda, according to your method, afhi hoiso chasera o yisera. In our Gemara, we have a no say, a topic heading accompanying this section. Pirush hodikotani b'mishnah chasera yisera b'yachas liyitzira sor. We're going to explain these expressions, yisera and chasera and yisera, with regard to the formation or the preparing of the sor. The sor is the sourdough that causes the rest of the mincha to ferment and become chometz, as is necessary in the case of the shtei alechem and the lachmei toida. So turning to the Gemara, my chasera o yisera, these expressions were from the Mishnah on Nun Beis Omid Beis. So what do these what do these words mean? Omar Rav Chisda, Isas Hasor, the dough that is highly fermented, the sour dough, Ova, if it's very thick, a dry type of dense batter, and let us say you take that and add it to the flour to form a to measure a full isaron. What am I in effect doing? I'm taking some dough that's very dense, very compacted, and adding it to the flour to measure an isaron. That dense dough that forms the ova, the thick sourdough, the amount of flour that's in there is actually relatively or percentage-wise more than the flour of the rest of the mincha to which no water has been added yet. So ova nimseis yisera midas isaron. There in effect is going to be more flour than an isaron, because if you were to imagine this compacted sourdough in its pre-manufactured state, in its flour state, and you were to add that amount of flour to the isaron that you have now, it'll come out that there'll be more than an isaron, which is more than the required amount. Raka, if the sourdough that you're adding to the mincha to measure an isaron is a thin, loose type batter, well, as a result of that, its looseness is indicative of the fact that there is actually less flour content in there than the rest of the mincha, and nimtzeis chasera, then in fact you have less than the required isaron amount of flour. The Gemara asks, well, what difference does it make, all of these, let's see, calculations? Self, ki ka kail, when you are measuring the isaron ka kail, are you not measuring into a vessel called an isaron quantity, an isaron vessel, and a vessel that holds an isaron? So, if I have flour, let's say it's filled close to the top, and then I add this sourdough that will then level it off at an isaron. What difference does it make whether the sourdough is of a thick consistency or a loose consistency? In the final picture, I have an isaron that's measured to the top. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Dami Shavayu, they both explain that when you're dealing with these measurings, I don't look at things as they are right now in their current state. L'kamos shehen hoisa misharinon. I am attempting to evaluate it as it was in its previous state, in its flower state. So as a result of that, if I take, let us say, an isaron of, I take a vessel that has flour in it that's close to the top, and I then add an isaron, and then I add a clump of very thick sourdough, one has to realize that the amount of flour in that sourdough would actually have put the isaron measure over the top. And likewise, the other way around, had it been if we were talking about an isaron of flour close to the top of the isaron, it's almost filled, and then I add a loose batter of sourdough, the amount of flour in that loose batter, had it been in its flour state, would not have enabled this measure to reach the top because of its lack of flour in this loose batter. The Gemara asks, "V'lishkol purta minei, v'lechamtzei me'ivroi, why not take from a full isaron worth of flour, extract from that some flour, have it ferment outside, in the hopes of creating this good quality." The sourdough, the lese, and then bring it, the niloshe bahade, and then knead it together with the rest of the flour. That way, I know that I started off with exactly the right amount of flour. And by doing it this way, I'm not doing what Rabbi Meir had said in the Mishnah, which was, Bodelo mitochon umechamtzon, where he said you'll make the sourdough or the fermenting within the flour itself of the mincha, that we said wouldn't reach a good quality. So here the suggestion is, take a well measured isaron of flour, an accurately measured isaron of flour, extract from it a small amount from which you will make the sourdough, and then when it becomes fully fermented, bring it back and prepare your mincha, prepare your shtei alechem or your lachmei toda this way. So the Gemara says we won't do that. Gzeira dilma osi leisuye me'almo. If people see me doing that, they will end up reaching a wrong conclusion. And we'll now look at Rashi. About halfway down the page, Gzeiro Dilma Osi Lesue Me'almo. Ishoris Le Lechamso Mibachutz. If you allow the preparation of the sourdough outside, Ulachziroi Kan, and then bring it back to the Mincha, Haroya Shumevio Minachutz Veloshoi Bekan. Someone who sees this happening, he sees me bringing sourdough from the outside and then kneading it here in the Beis HaMikdash, the Eino Modeid Achshav Isaron, and he doesn't see me measuring it right now. He only sees me bringing the sourdough and adding it to the Mincha. Savor Shu Moisif Alo Isaron. People will think that he's adding to the Isaron. The Osisue Sarme Amo. Levad ho'isaron, and people will then think, in general, you can just bring sourdough from the outside and add it to a full isaron. Hilkoch l'Rabbi Meir boide mitoichoi odif. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says, separate a little flour from within the mincha and have it ferment right there on the spot. L'Rabbi Yehuda mevio mibeisoi koidem medida odif, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, before any measuring takes place, you bring the sourdough to the mincha, and as we explained before, no measuring has taken place yet. Then you take an isaron vessel, fill it up close to the top, and add the sourdough in the hopes that you'll be able to calculate the quantity of flour that's in the sourdough that you are bringing. And now, for the first time, you will be doing the measure. Of course, as we said before, that, as the Mishnah said, those who opposed Rabbi Yehuda say that that's a little difficult to make the calculation how much flour is in this, in the sourdough in its current state. And as we said before, because the need for measuring is not as it is right now, but it is, the measuring is taking into consideration how things were in their pre-kneaded state, in the pre-sourdough state, and its flour state. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.